fundraising projects. I've been to a lot of functions with John and others where we've done auctions, and I think probably anybody at the ranch has got something good that they could put up, and maybe we can even do this through your website.
We can, the ranch allocate a certain amount of money for the care and whatever of the horses, but we could also dedicate the, funds generated from horse rides towards it. You know, if the board want to, we've got a lot of horse rides scheduled this year. They're going to bring in some money. And,
that is a very good potential income that can be used. For right now, I would like to keep the horse income separate just so we can show, hey, this is what
it's paid for the horses.
Yeah,
we've said all along that money could be generated from the horse program, and we've struggled to ever make that happen. This year, if we could show, okay, we had a $5,000 profit. We had a $10,000 profit.
If I didn't have other things to do on the ranch, I could run those horses 24/7. I mean, I have people call all the time, and I say, you know what? Call Linda. Right now I'm trying to service just the members, but I mean, we have a number
at some point, we'll have to reconsider. You know where the priorities are. Maybe
Wrangler
out of that for the
if it pays
some of these other things that you need to do around the ranch.
I thought of some other suggestions for fundraising. Larry mentioned the auctions. We could put up an auction site or something through the website, or we could do it like a silent auction at a meeting or something like that. Or you know, a number of ways we can do that. I also thought of donation pledges. You know, getting out to the letting people, letting all the membership know. Obviously, the good things that are happening at the ranch, plus what we want to provide for the future, you know, we can have donation pledge donations.
Yeah, well, rendering or something like that, what we buy here.
You know,
kind of like how PBS does it, where you pledge this much, you get a free horse ride or something.
Sign a board or a brick.
$25 a month or something like that, or, you know, mm-hmm. or just a one-time deal, you know, whichever. You know, put that out to the membership. Also, the fishing derby. You mentioned the fishing derby at one time, I think.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
I can fish a fish. And
what's the fish guy I've got to talk to this week? He called me. I said, I'm going to go to the board meeting and give you what the board's final word is on. Last year, he charged us $4.25 a pound. He's ready to do that again this year, delivered. How much fish do you want? In pounds.
Do we need to supplement these poor fish? Because anytime I've seen any fish, they're the skinniest, poorest looking fish I've ever seen.
He's been bringing in some pretty good fish, I thought.
The only fish that I've ever pulled out of there that aren't fit to eat. I mean, they're the skinniest, underfed looking thing. Hmm. Do we need to supplemental feed them? I don't know, but they don't look like
I don't know much about fish. This guy does. I can ask
him.
We need to feed him a little.
Well, we might need to buy some.
Because you can buy a bug feeder that are cheap.
Whatever they eat.
Yeah. There's sauce. Oh, yeah.
If we need a bug. There's bump feeders you can get. There's various things you can get for that.
I will do whatever the board wants to do. He called me. I know the fellow. Knew him before I came to work here. He just wants to know pounds. Last year there's quite a bit of death loss coming out, but he covered. We counted the dead fish, and he
made it good. Yeah,
he made it good.
Hey, what's the price?
$4.25 a pound.
$4.25.
Actually, you know, last year, the last load was delivered after our Labor Day.
$4.25.
And so, some of the pounds should be.
Oh, there's fish in them. There's fish in them. But, you know, they fish them out every year. You have to decide how much you want put in.
Now, Ole, you mentioned, you know, with the trout, we have to keep restocking. Okay.
Yeah, they can't breed there.
In a lower pond, could we put another fish like a bass where you wouldn't be afraid of, you know, if we put them up the pond, they might migrate to the lower pond.
Well,
but could we put it in a lower pond and have them just kind of stay there like a
fish? We could put there's a lot of things. I mean, for people who just want to catch fish and aren't taking home to eat, you can put those little bluegill, the little perch in there that live on their own, breed like crazy.
You want to do a combination when you do this thing. I've read about this. You want to do, if you do a bass, then you want to do a fish that they can feed off, like a red ear sunfish. And so you do a combination, like an ecosystem. They'll breed like mad, And then the what'll happen is the bass will come in and eat them.
To get bigger.
You want to do a combination of that if you're going to do something
yeah,
like that.
I think there's bass already in all three ponds. I
know there are in the bottom.
And I've seen them in the upper pond. I just stood out on the bed.
And that might be something to think about for some of those things.
Well, if you want a fish committee member that wants to make those decisions, that's good. All I want is your marching orders
for how many pounds.
Okay. And if you want to look at diversifying the breed types in there, which I would recommend, because a lot of people want a fish that'll fight, they can catch and release. Bass are great for that. Perch are great for that. Fish that are fun to catch and fun to mess with, but you're paying for a premium fish right now. You're paying for rainbow trout, which you pay for by the pound,
and
they are the most expensive fish you're going to buy.
Well, we got enough money for 500 pounds of fish. That's a trout breed.
Want me to get 500 pounds?
Well, here's
the
thing.
It's the
nature of those ponds. You have to have a gravel area for them to breed. They
probably
won't breed in mud.
But the strange thing is, we have ended up with a lot of smaller fish than we've ever stocked. So
yeah.
Maybe some of them do.
Usually they don't.
They breed in the reeds and the grasses.
Yeah, but just not successfully. A lot of them get eaten and stuff. And so generally,
you know what? I could probably go talk to a DWR guy who does mountain lakes and streams and whatever and say, look, this is what we've got. What would you recommend for something that'll breed and kind of grow there, because I don't think we've ever really, we've never really taken it to a professional.
Yeah, from what I've seen done, you know, if we're going to do a year-round thing, you do a combination of a bass, a red ear sunfish, which are great for kids. Kids love those, and maybe a catfish, and that's a good combo.
The problem we have right now is the fish you're catching at 4 1/4 pound. I mean, you can buy them in a restaurant, battered, cooked, and on a plate.
For that much.
4 1/2 pounds.
Yeah, I know.
It's just crazy.
You're catching them, tearing their mouth up with the hook, because, you know, catch and release is one thing, but for little kids that don't know how to, they cut the thing trying to get the hook out, so it's not really practical.
I haven't pulled a single fish out of there that hasn't the skinniest.
Why don't we do this? Agree on some moderate amount of poundage to get that we'll put in there, and let's give it some thought for how we can better manage those lakes. Because, I mean, just dumping in premium fish and pulling them out.
We have $2,000 in the budget. Last year, your dad donated another $1,000, I think.
Yeah.
So we spent $3,000 last year, maybe more. I don't know. Barbara had that last.
Whatever that equates in.
Where's your closest
like
DWR here?
Cedar City. 700 pounds.
I've got friends in Richfield.
Well, and we could even talk. I don't know. Hal Stout lives over in Glendale. He's the biologist, but I don't know if he deals with fish.
Well, isn't there a fisheries breeding area somewhere?
Oh, there's plenty. In fact, there's actually a cheaper place to buy fish. We can get them $3 a pound. Dennis McDonald, that has the big lake there on the Alton Turnoff, tells me he stocks for $3 a pound of somebody more local, but I didn't ask him what type of fish, how big they were, and whatnot. So, and we haven't done any really shopping around.
And there's a trade-up. In the past, we've bought quantity of fish, but they're mostly small. And then we've thrown in a few big ones. If they're not being fed, and you know, if they're not growing and fattening up, then I'd rather buy
smaller amount.
You know, 500 big fish than 2,000 teeny fish that aren't going to amount to anything.
Well, there should be. You know what? You go to that same altitude. That lake is at about 7.2. If you go around and look at the lakes that sit at that level on this same break that goes clear over to Boulder, the fish flourish. Those tiger trout do very well. I mean, I fish at this same altitude over on my mountain, and they're doing well, but we're not catching rainbow. We're catching brook and tiger trout. Maybe we should consider getting brook. Are very thrifty and like this sort of lake, and we've never put brook.
Could be that the breed is not doing
fish
well for that area.
Yeah,
there too.
A lot prettier fish.
Yeah, you need something that's going to thrive on what's, because you have all those willows and all the bugs that come out. There's plenty of food for a fish.
Striper.
But I really think that rainbow that are fed pellets in a hatchery and then dumped into this mountain lake have a tough time making it.
Years and years ago, when we first started the fish program, we actually bought bags of fish pellet feed, and we'd go up and, you know, you throw it and the water boils, and that was part of the fun, is going and feeding the fish and just seeing them churn the water.
And we could put those little squirts.
I was going to say.
You fundraiser.
Fundraiser. A little candy dispenser.
Sure, yeah.
You want to feed the fish?
Want an ounce or more?
Yeah,
they do.
They would. But, you know, I have noticed that the fish don't seem.
Absolutely.
They don't seem in too well.
It's time to get away from the rainbow.
Poke around with it? I hate to see us just doing what we've done because
it's not working.
Done, yeah.
Who wants to be responsible?
I'll take
for that
and find out a little bit more.
You're a wildlife specialist.
Okay, so
that's right. You're hunting and fishing.
So is a fishing derby something that we could put on if we get some decent fish in there?
We need to get fish before we start fishing.
Right, okay.
when we turn them loose.
That would be a good idea, yeah.
Whenever we do stock it, we ought to have him stock.
A day or two later, we can.
Five or six big ones tag them and you release
definitely.
Them. It's going to cost you $10 to fish the derby, and whoever catches the big fish.
Yeah, you always want to put a couple of whales in there. Because you know you gotta be able to tell them, hey, Oscar's in there somewhere.
That's right.
Yeah.
He who catches Oscar is a happy man.
So as far as fundraising, should I draft a letter to the members?
Now, have you had them buy a ranch fishing license in the past for $5?
No. They've tried things off and on over the years about charging you $3 a fish or this or that.
Screwed to the cabin wall
that
says, you know, your appreciation for the fish. They don't fill up.
The only fish that I've ever caught, I've had to put back because you could not eat them.
Right. Well,
I've never
fished. So I would contribute, but there was nothing to contribute to.
You know, something.
You would have a lot of 15 kids.
Last year, I brought my grandkids up here. We went fishing.
That was their entertainment.
I caught three fish, took the hook off, threw them back in the water, and 2 seconds later, they came back up dead.
Well, if you're going to do catch and release, you got to bend back your hooks.
You gotta use
a barbless hook.
Take your hook, take a little bastard file, and take the barb off that, then it'll come out.
Yeah.
So what
you
want to
do is the barb hook and do catch and release.
I took
the hook out.
You can still do a lot of damage.
They were still alive. I threw them in the water, and 2 seconds later they came up floating.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. You're an Italian. You don't have tongue.
And you could just take some vice grips or something and bend back the hook if you're interested in doing that.
Catch and release. My friends all do it. I think, you know, what if I grabbed you and pounded a piece of rebar through the roof of your mouth and pulled it out and let you go? Feelings. See you next week.
Well, just grabbing the fish to take the hook out is almost as damaging.
Yeah, and
that's true.
Throwing a fish back in there and having it die. That's why I said it's not as effective as it sounds. The people who do catch and release are professional fly fishermen who go and plan, and they have a fly set for it. These kids that are buying number 6 hooks in town, take them out there, and then got them. Oh, I put him back.
No,
I'm missing his liver. I will work with Ole, and we'll get with some fish experts and ask some other questions, see if there's a different type, a different program we want to put in, a few different kinds of fish to create our own little.
You know what I think we should do? We should call Danny Albrecht and say, what is the minimum load you will come out here with? Order that amount of fish so that we know that we get some rainbows put in there. And then in that meantime, you and I can think about what we can get for other fish.
We have that pond in Sly Canyon. I remember Dale was saying
that pond exists no longer.
That they were putting in fish and then pulling them out, or
the DWR
was
fish
doing
in there
that.
You know, they place fish there and take them out. Yeah. But that pond
no longer exists.
It's filled in with.
Well, but that means that in that area we could do that kind of species of fish. So.
Well, the other
I'm
thing
sure
is because we could get that outfit that's
pond.
Doing all the lakes up above Barney Reservoir. And volunteer our lakes for them to breed their tiger trout. Tell them we want to fish. We'll fish to it. But they put a kind of a thing out to people who had private lakes that if they let them breed their fish in your lake, they'd bring the fish and you could fish them.
That's a cheap way to get fish right there.
They stock them. All they want is a place to study them. What they're looking for are streams that are not connected to other lakes so whirling disease doesn't become a factor. Those three lakes are ideal. In fact, something you ought to consider, you know, I don't know if you want to branch that far, but you could go buy a bazillion of these little fish and feed them there through the winter and sell fish out of your pond at the end of the fall on their growth, and you'd pay for your fish program, plus you'd have fish to fish while you're at it because you have a better water flow there.
Netting them out, back out of there, how they recover the fish.
You're required to have a 16-second foot of flow, which you have ample water there, and no connection. I have a lake on my ranch, so I know a little bit about establishing a pond, but the DWR is thrilled about it. They will give you a permit on your lakes as long as it's not connected to anything where it can be contaminated. And Deer Springs is so isolated. I mean, the water doesn't even actually ever flow away. How often do you find an inland lake that has an inlet and an outlet, and neither one of them are connected to anything?
We have to poison off first, and so we have bought some contaminated fish in the past.
Fish with
Yeah, we had that last year.
You'd have to have them test your lake first, but I'll tell you what, we will go and find out what the most advantageous use of those lakes will be in this next little while, because I can, next time I'm in Richfield, I know a man that knows it all about fish.
Okay.
And we'll find out. We might have an opportunity to make some income there.
And I think some other species would be a good idea, and we can get them cheaper, a lot cheaper. And they'll grow on their own. We don't have to worry.
Well, we're on the same subject. What about where we took a ride last year above the pond? That one that was dried up, had a hole in it.
Did we ever patch that up and fill it up again?
It has been fixed a little bit, but I don't think it could ever be used as a fishing type lake. I mean, it can be.
It will dry up eventually.
Yeah,
it's just like a debris.
What about those?
It's a silt retention pond, and the more water we can capture there, the better we off are below there for our seeps and springs.
Truly, because it won't fill in the lake.
Yeah.
It should be repaired as a catchment, but, I mean.
What about developing the lower areas, the catchment area for fishing, swimming, and whatnot?
We've talked about reestablishing the surface water. At some point, we'll do that. It's so far down the list of what needs to happen now, we haven't. But those catchments need to be developed for three reasons. Number one, your erosion. When it catches, it stops your erosion. There should be at least three catchments up there, and most of them were established and have just been filled in. A dozer can rebore them and fix them in a heartbeat. You just need a good diversion for when the flood.
One in Slide Canyon definitely needs that.
That one in Slide Canyon, it's filled in. You can take a bulldozer in and reestablish it. It's not as costly. I mean, you're paying $75 an hour on a good cat, and they can do them inside of a day. So it's worth doing.
I think we need to slate that for this year.
Yeah,
I think that's a reasonable expense.
We do that big one, then we do the smaller one up at the where the like
all of our erosion issues will
that
go down to nothing
most
if those catchments are
so
good every year.
I mean, that pays for itself in some ways, because then that's less road maintenance. So I think that's part of our budget, and we should figure out what we should do for allocating that.
Cox's pond was dug 2 years ago, and I think that's about half filled up now.
Yeah, it
was because we've lost the other two dams.
But that big pond right there by the gravel pit used to stop all that stuff that now flows down and tears everything up. You're talking about a patch not bigger than that doorway. It'd be very easy to do.
Just a matter of hiring somebody to do it.
Well, put it on your list because it needs to be a habit. We have to reestablish surface water to the ranch at some point, because none of those pastures behind the ranch can be watered the way it is. I mean, you're never going to pump diesel and just pump water to them.
You know, we budgeted $4,000 for wildlife income. This might be a good way to use some of that money in terms of tractor time to reestablish some of these watering places.
And I'll tell you one thing about
the turkeys. That'll benefit.
Where the water is, the turkeys
wildlife
are right there next. I mean, there were turkeys on the water over where we saw them. There's turkeys on every place the water shows up, the turkeys come.
So if we got the money allocated.
Yeah, he already perked up when he heard that.
Well, if we got the money allocated, what does it take to hire somebody to get it done?
Very easy to do. Got lots of operators around.
We can use that guy that his mother owns that liquor store in Arizona.
Well, wasn't Brent saying that there was somebody
the
coming
guy
into
that
town that was going to do some work? Alan
Steed is coming up to do some
work. So let's get Alan Steed to do it.
Alan Steed is
going to do this.
Pretty pricey. There's other people that might be more reasonable.
Okay.
But Aliceed also has been part of our wildlife.
If you decide on
disappearance problem,
he brings all these kids up, and then they take care of our fish.
I'll tell you something else. If you will establish how many ponds you have to put in and allocate the money, I've got a retired man bulldozer. He's 40 years in the bucket on a bulldozer who will work cheaper and better than I've used him for 20 years. And, I mean, he gets the job done and can care less about the money. In fact, oftentimes he says, I can only make so much money this month. So he says, you know.
Well, let's do it.
But we need to have a bulldozer for it.
Let's have
he
a plan.
We
need to identify where we need to work, and then we need to just set up a time.
I think it's a good idea establishing the ones that were put there because they were put where they were put for a reason by the Finleys who studied the topography.
Let's do it.
Okay. That's new business, right?
So
what money is that? So I know how much money we have.
If we get a guy out here, we need to work. You know, as you come in towards the ranch house, we're going to lose that road there in another two or three big storms.
Oh, where that big wash keeps moving forward to the county road?
Yeah.
No, we're actually towards the road coming into the ranch house.
Right, where it
there's
keeps backing up.
There's about this much spot next to the fence,
right,
and it drops off about 15 feet or
You can't go through that gate.
But that wash, we lost about 13 feet in that. And I realized it was coming, but that overhang collapsed. And if it did that, I realize it doesn't do that every storm, but you're only about six storms away from hitting the road.
I'd say we'll allocate $2,000, half of that budget, and let's do it.
On tractor work.
It needs to be done early.
How far
too.
We can get? Yeah.
Well, contact them.
So do we need to?
We need a motion.
I'll do a motion.
Funds from one.
No, we are.
No, that benefits wildlife.
We have it in the wildlife.
Wildlife.
Yeah,
that's our wildlife fund right there.
Okay.
Should use it, too, because those ponds really do. I mean, if there's one thing that creates habitat faster than anything else for turkeys, it's giving them
water.
They'll dig their living.
I'll make a motion that we spend $2,000 of the wildlife budget for redoing the ponds, digging them out, and let's have Ole assign those areas and have that taken care of.
I'll second.
All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Unanimous. We'll be working on and we'll try to identify which ones we want to get first.
What about the one?
Let's just go. We'll start highest with the water because it is kind of a dry year. We'll start with the highest already established catchment. See what kind of water we can collect in that. If it's doing well, we'll go to the next one down. And just keep moving down because eventually we want to be able to take a storm and channel the water to the headwaters so that we can water those flats like they used to do. They used to raise hay out there all off of storm water. When the storms hit, they used the water, and when it stopped, they re-diverted it into the catchments. They used everything that fell out of the sky, and currently all it does is destroy our ranch because we don't have anything to catch it. It just eats holes everywhere. If we can catch it,
let's do it. Right.
Yeah.
Now, that's what that red pond was originally set up for, just to...
Is that the one on
the top? The one at the top.
Yeah. That was meant to...
you have to have that one because if you don't, those ponds that we currently fish in are going to look just like it'll look just like the one in Slide Cane.
Right.
And those are extremely hard to redig out because they are already in a wash. So you have to take a loader in, take it out, and get the dirt because you can't push it out; it'll fall right back into you because they're quite deep and in a gorge. So you really have to red reservoir has got to be patched probably before anything else.
Right.
One good storm could take half your capacity out of this.
Right.
See how far 2,000 will take you, and then if we need more... We'll
I'll get him down. He's the cheapest man that has ever sat on a backhoe or a bulldozer.
Do it.
Today with the National Wild Turkey Federation guys on a seed program, they donate reseed. And
for feed plots and stuff.
Or just... overall.
Well, if we go in there and say we just allocated $2,000 for a habitat enrichment, they might match us fund for turkey habitat.
The head of biologist for the BLM wants to work with us on...
Hey, you know what? I'm going to be at that with you tonight. That'd be a great place to ferret out our fish problem. I'll bet you there's people there because, like Norm Bowden, who is over the turkeys or was over the turkeys, was also the fish guy.
Yeah. We'll find out.
I haven't seen any.
Oh, there's so many.
I haven't seen any.
There's one out there that will attack you. Ken says attacked his truck.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that's the same one that I had. There was two coming across the road, and I was zooming up. I wanted to get right up on them. I floored it to get up to see what was there, and all of a sudden one came out, and I hit my brake because he was so big. He's that big. And he was fluffed up, coming down on the road, his beard dragging in the dirt. And I thought, oh,
I thought that was a vision. We were in the cabin last year before me, and I was sleeping in that cabin 8, I guess, up in the upper room, and I heard this noise outside, and I looked out, and I saw something that I thought was a black bear at first. It was a turkey.
So those turkeys have been all over, up and down the ranch this year, and the hardest thing on them is they have to stay central to the water, but they have to branch out for the food. And if the water is limited, then they'll only go, you know, as far away as they can collect that day to come back to the water for the drink. So if you're able, the more water you stretch out, the more food they can utilize.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're just like cattle or anything else. They only have a certain radius they can go from that water. And where now our water's just the ponds, they're really working their butts off to make a living. But you put a little water down where they could utilize, you know, they come into leaf spring. But down, they want to come to the ranch headquarters, and I put water out by the generator. In that, there's a spigot there. I put a little thing out, put water in, and we had turkeys in there in about 3 days. And they were just eating the devil out of those meadows because they like the grass. So anywhere you establish water for those turkeys, you give them not just water, but, you know, acres of feed they can utilize because they can get to.
Okay. Anything else that anybody's got to add or come up with?
I know I brought up last month the hang tag sticker idea scenario. I know there's several companies that are willing to do it if we come up with the design, if that's something we want to do. It's not very costly.
I think it'd be a great thing to have a box of 20 tags there at the ranch house. So the past 2 weeks ago, in fact, our mechanic down here, M&S Auto or M&D Auto, Mike Crosby, he was out in our area last year with his son, I believe, hunting turkeys. And this year, his nephew drew a turkey tag, and he had talked to Brent, and he had talked to me, and we said, yeah, sure, go on out. And so he was on the ranch going up through, you know, actually hunting turkeys on the BLM ground, but got stopped by Fred Searles. Kind of got raked over the coals about, hey, you shouldn't be here, and he was going to arrest him and whatnot. And Mike said, hey, you know, I've got permission from Brent. Well, they ended up going over to Brent's house, and Fred was, you know, finally okay with it once Brent told him, yeah, he's got permission. But had
it would have been nice to have given him something.
If he had had a, you know, caught by the house.
His whole day, his whole hunting day got shot.
Most of those companies that want to do it, they want to do it in like hundreds.
Yeah.
So if we do like 100, and you can do them either the kind of sticky ones, just a regular sticky sticker, hang tags. You can even do those kind of like when you get gas change. And they're a couple bucks, you know.
So is this for members?
Yeah.
Members
and guests.
I would
say that. We all know who's where.
We should.
You know, and I think if you could, I mean, you go to any other place like Tejon Ranch or stuff, everybody, all the members have got stickers, and guests have hang tags. That's just the nature of the business, so you know.
Well, and it wouldn't be that expensive to have two or four. The little, you know, when you go get your oil changed at Jiffy Lube, they stick a little sticker in there.
Those stickers.
It's not adhesive, it just it adheres to the window. If the members had something like that, that you could put in three vehicles, four vehicles, whatever you have, and then guests maybe have the hang tag on the rearview mirror or whatever.
We have a pile of them at
driving, or any of us, we're driving down the road or anything, you see somebody.
You can also, on your sign out there, you can say, Deer Springs Ranch, private ground, stop in the headquarters for permit.
Required.
A permit required.
And that makes
way,
it.
Then people know you're going to ask them for one, and you say, hey, sign says permit required if you got one or not.
Yeah, you got to check in at the headquarters if you're coming in. I mean, I think that's a good and reasonable thing to do.
We need more people at the headquarters every day.
Yeah.
I field about 15 tourists for every member that comes in that just want to poke around.
Petting zoo here.
Aye, aye.
Okay.